This share is to add a little bit of clarity to the things said on Sunday night. We're going to talk again about how to kasher the sinks, to add about the glass countertops that some people have, about the Shabbos blech relevant for this year, the third day Pesach, a bit more about covering counters, about selling part of a fridge or a cabinet and leaving half for Pesach use, about mechiras chametz this year over the phone and other ways, about a seal b'chayrim this year over the phone, about bior chametz erev Pesach if you can't get to a fire, there won't be so many public fires this year, kashering a hot plate, and a few other little things. So before we start, I want to just mention that Matan b'Seser in the city is an overload with over 850 requests and about 500,000 nefashos depending on them. And the Kemach distribution next week is also on their shoulders. So if anybody wants to donate from their house to Matan b'Seser, they can do so in a few ways. Online, it's Matan b'Seser, MatanBSayser.org, or a 24-hour hotline 216-270-7505, or mail to 3528 Blanche Avenue, and that's the way to donate to Matan b'Seser. There's another issue that this year the Kemach distribution is very short on labor, because many of the yeshiva boys are medically not eligible to be able to hand out the food for Kemach on Sunday. And grown men are requested to be volunteers. There's 3 shifts of 3 hours that have to be coordinated. Anybody who wants to be a helper in giving out the food for Kemach should call in 4407-KEMACH or kemachcleveland@gmail.com. and leave their name and number and when they're available, and the efforts will be Bez Hashem coordinated. So let's go back and explain quickly about kashering the sink. A metal sink can be kashered, all of it. A porcelain sink, you can only kasher the faucet and the metal ring at the bottom. The rest has to be covered with 2 covers that won't let the dishes touch the sink. Now, when a person wants to kasher the sink, what he has to do is designate a time for kashering and turning over, and 24 hours before that, clean the sink and let it sit cold and clean without any hot usage 24 hours. Put a tape on the hot faucet as a reminder. Half an hour before the kashering, you pour some rainwater bleach down the drain and get some towels ready to put around the counters and the floor to soak up the mess of the pouring. Then you can take a pouring kashering pot, which can either be a Pesach tikka pot or even a chametz tikka pot that's been sitting cold and clean for 24 hours. And either of those two can be used for the pouring the kashering. It would be such a pot with a cold lid, with a cold handle and a lid that you can manipulate when it's full of water. So now when it's time to come to 24 hours or when you come to kasher, you go and take your pot, take it to the bathtub and get the water very hot from the faucet of the bathtub. You get it very hot. Take it down to your gas stove, which is already, your gas electric stove, it's already Pesach thick. And you put it on there. And in a couple of minutes with the lid for sure, it'll be bubbling. When it's bubbling, you give a pour over the rim and down the wall to the sink. And you just give one pour as much as it goes. You go like an L. Northeast, southwest, and 1 or 2 pours should do the four walls and sink in the rims. Now, if you run out of water, you get a second pot and do it again, but you always have to pour on a dry surface. Just like the first time you poured on a dry sink, you have to dry now the new section that needs kashering before you pour a second time. And that way you do all 4 walls and the bottom of the sink and the drain. And that is the kashering for that. Now we have the faucet that comes out over the sink. So that faucet should also be cleaned and left 24 hours, that usually, like we said before. And now you come. So if the serrata can be removed, it should be cleaned and removed. If not, it's cleaned at where it is. And you take another pot of bubbling hot water. You dip the serrata in it, whether it's attached or not attached. Then you pour over the faucet. Then after all that is done, you wash everything down with cold water and the kashering is complete. In case you forgot the hot water, it's still okay. But you do wash over afterwards with cold water. Again, you're supposed to wash over again with cold water. In case you forgot the washing with the cold water, it's still okay. But you give it a wash over with cold water. That is enough. It's simpler than last time. How to do the sink. Now I want to go to a glass. A number of people have these special built-in glass cooktops. Like four in the counter, it's like four circles of glass. So what you do for Pesach is you clean it, wait 24 hours, turn it onto its glowing hottest, and use it like that on Pesach, and try very hard not to have spills. It's very worthwhile the whole Pesach to cook, put pots to 3/4 full, not more than that, in order not to have spills. You try hard not to have spills. We mentioned that when you cover the counters, you should have two covers in case one tears. If you use a very thick item, like the corrugated plastic that is sold here in Cleveland, or wood, or you know, like thick items, one cover is enough. You don't need two. If a person wants to sell part of a freezer or refrigerator or part of certain cabinets, he can tape them up with brown paper and tape and mark them chometz and make them part of his sale, and the rest of the refrigerator is usable. You can have two halves of a freezer, refrigerator, one half sold to the guy, and one half to use. This year, to simplify things, a number of rabbonim are giving different etzes for mechiras chometz. Some will take just a phone call, and some have an email attachment system or an online place to sign the document, and that will take care of the mechiras chometz. When it comes Erev Pesach and we're going to make a siyum, a number of rabbonim are going to make a siyum on the phone, and you get the phone to hook into, and Shem Zalman says that's a bona fide siyum, it's a pata abuchor from fasting. When it comes to Erev Pesach this year about burning chametz, so a lot of people go usually to a public burning, which might not be available this year, and people might not want to congregate this year. So in case you don't have a simple way to get a fire, you don't need a fire. Take your kizayas chametz that you found last night, 10 pieces, flush it down the bath, the toilet, and it's also called beer chametz. It's not as good as burning, but if you don't have burning, you can do it this way, and you also yotze, and then you say the bittel that you say on Erev Pesach. It's important to remember also that whenever a person's kashering an oven, or any time over Pesach, don't cover the vents. All the vents at all times have to be left open. You didn't mention last time the backsplash. Both the backsplash of the sink and the backsplash of the oven both need to be covered, so dishes shouldn't touch them. The situation right now about Tfilas Kelim, being Tevil Kelim, right now it's not clear that they're going to be all open. They're trying to figure everything out in a way to be very sanitary. So the Tfilas Kelim mikvahs might be open. In case that Tfilas Kelim mikvahs will not be able to open properly or not be able to do the demand according to the sanitary regulations, there's going to be a second method, method B, which will be tried next week if necessary, that people will authorize Cleveland Rabbonim to sell their kelim for them and borrow them back from the goy. So if that's necessary, you'll call your Rav next week and that could be organized. Another thing to mention is that just as we said last time, you can take a regular chametz tikka tablecloth and put it in a hot water detergent in the washing machine that makes the tablecloth kosher l'Pesach. The same thing with dish towels and certainly plain hand towels. They can all be done the same way and they're all kosher l'Pesach without having to buy new ones. It might be a bit hard this year to get a haircut before Pesach. The barbers are on overload and hygienic restrictions, so it might be hard to get a haircut. In case you can't get a haircut, after Pesach, till Rosh Chodesh Iyar, a person is allowed to get a haircut and he can push off the Sfira Avelis to the second half, even if he doesn't do so in regular years. But a person who comes with Moshe can change from year to year, and therefore he'll be able to get a haircut after Pesach. He can't get one before Pesach. The Ratzon that we should all be Mekayim the Halakos of Pesach properly. Oh yeah, I wanted to mention one other thing. Some people have a complication that when they come to pour water down the sinks, they have a certain type of set-in counter with it, where there's a jut out of counter over the sink, and they can't get to the top of the metal of the sink where it joins the counter. So what you do in such a case is you do your pouring and you figure out, you know, how far your pouring went, and if those top 2 inches that of the sink that you really couldn't get water properly to with a proper flow from the pot, because you can't splash it out, you have to pour it from the pot. So if you can't get there, so you figure out like how many, those inches probably not too much chametz gets there anyways. But the right thing to do is after you finish kashering, you fold some aluminum foil around and around to cover those 2 inches so dishes shouldn't touch it. And then the sink is kosher using the Pesach. We're going right now into Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was a month of Nisan for Klal Yisrael always. It may be a month of Nisan for us. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll all get our shuls open, our yeshivas open, our kolim open, and life will go back to better than normal, and everybody will have a good parnasa, and we'll have a chag kosh sameach, everybody will do samach b'chagecha, and Hashem will give us the bracha, v'ha yisra'ach sameach.